Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning to you all on the blog and everything. Let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, as you know, the greatest honor I consider of my life is to be able to talk to you. And then you talk back to me. What a privilege. What a privilege. Thank you for adopting us as your children. Thank you for adopting me as your son. We pray that you would just visit us today. Hope you're not too busy. Stop by here on the prayer line and let us give you praise and glory. That's our present. We got a present for you. Stop by here and get your present. Let us thank you and glorify you and praise you and magnify you. And our present is that people from all walks of life have forsaken what the enemy is trying to do. And we're joining hands together to praise you and to glorify you and to pray to you. So please stop by. Let the Holy Ghost take over. In the name of Jesus, we give you glory, adoration, all the praise. It belongs to you. Now forgive us for every sin, sins of omission, trying to do what you told us to do, omitted some things, but please forgive us. We're trying our best to remember those things and get them done for you. And commission, sins of commission, things that we've done that we shouldn't have done. Please forgive us. Some things we said that we shouldn't have said, and we're sorry. Please bless the prayer line, every person. Clarify the prayer line. So you will hear these prayers and praises. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And Lord, let healing virtue flow on the prayer line everywhere. Heal all over the world, in every area, Africa, Asia, India, Russia, England, everywhere, Lord, is healed in America. Thank you for it. And we give you the glory again, and the praise belongs to you. You know and ask these things in the name of Jesus, because we know your word. And so we ask everything we do in the name of Jesus. And not only that, but for the glory of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank God. Amen and amen and amen. My God. God bless all of y'all. Wake up here. Amen. I'm shaking you right now. Come on, wake up. In the name of Jesus, wake up. And good morning to all y'all. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Let's not omit the Lord. I just keep telling people he is real. Hallelujah. He comes in your room. Why would you not speak to him?
Good morning, Lord.
Amen. And who on this line has the Holy Ghost, and your Holy Ghost will let you wake up and praise the Lord? If so, I'm going to ask you to join me, because I got the Holy Ghost.
Thank you.
I'm going to praise him. Can you join me? This is called Praise Check. I want to see what level you're on. Are you down here? Thank you, Jesus. Are you up here? Thank you, Jesus.
Everybody, God bless you and you. You know,
Good morning.
I thank God for all of you on this prayer line across the world. And I just didn't plan on being on the prayer line today, but I kind of messed up on the blog line. I told them that I would bring this brief message that I brought yesterday at Amazing Grace. Oh, my God, we shot his throat. Amen. And I want to take that and bring this. Then after today, I'm gonna take a brief sabbatical from the blog line and from the prayer line. I need a rest. Amen. Much deserved rest. I've been here day and night. So y'all understand that. I don't want y'all to take a sabbatical. I teach Amazing Grace. If I'm out of town, that's when I need y'all. That's when I need you to hold my arms up. I don't need y'all to say, well, I'm gonna take a break. No, that's the time I need you. It shows maturity in the congregation. Amen. You there. Amen. Saying, Pastor's not here, but I'm really, he needs me now to really be on target, for the prayer line right now. And that's what I need. I need y'all. I don't need to be worried that y'all ain't there and all that kind of stuff. No. I need for y'all to be there. And I need for y'all to have your prayer in the porch. Don't let people be begging you to praise God and tell of his goodness. No. When I get a report like that, then that'll break my rest. Don't do that. But and then when we ask for prayer requests, I need people who are willing to pray. Why wouldn't the saints be willing to pray? The saints of God. Amen. So I need y'all to fill in the gaps and be in there so I can get a good report and I can have a little rest myself. Don't make me nervous and all that kind of stuff. God bless you. I love you. But I thought I would be gone today, but the Lord fixed it so I'd be here today and basically properly tell you all that I'm going to take a little sabbatical here. I mean, I don't know exactly how long, but I am going to be gone for a while here. Let me give you a glimpse of the message I brought yesterday at Amazing Grace. I had people to put up, in fact, let me ask y'all on the prayer line and the blog line, put up three fingers. Just hold up three fingers in front of you. Now, then hold up one finger. Okay? Do it again. Three fingers, then one finger. Three fingers, then one finger. Do it again. Three fingers, then one finger. I'm doing that myself. Three fingers, one finger. And I know most people say, well, he's talking about the Holy Ghost, God, Father, God, Jesus, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. No, that's not what that means. It means three in one. That's what I talked about yesterday. Three in one. Yeah. Let me read this in the book of Jonah. All right. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. I'm in the first chapter, first verse. The son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Then the third verse says, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and it goes on. Then I looked a little further over here in the book of Jonah. He's in the belly of the whale. And it says, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hail cried I, and thou heardest my voice. Jonah had messed up, was in the belly of the whale. But God God heard his prayer and commanded the fish to open up his mouth. And he spit Jonah out on the seashore. All right. Then over here, and even though he had messed up, he didn't go to Nineveh. After he came out of the belly of the some people say, but a big fish, the Bible says. He told him again, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. In other words, say what I told you to say. Told you to go to Nineveh. Now, it goes over here a little further in the book of Jonah. That something here, if I can find it, it really impressed me. I haven't found it yet, but I do know what it says. It tells us that that great city, Nineveh, was of a 3 days' journey. It could have meant from where Jonah was to Nineveh was 3 days' trip. It takes 3 days to get there. Or it could mean across the city. It would take 3 days to go across this great city. I'm taking it to mean that from where he was, it was a 3 days' journey to get to Nineveh. And then the word tells us that Jonah made 3 days in one day. Amen. It was a 3 days' journey, but Jonah made a 3 days' journey in one day. Mm-hmm. And that's the three fingers, 3 days. The one finger stands for one day. I'm going to cut the chase here a little while and go straight to it, and then I'll be closing in just a moment. But the message yesterday and this morning is to people who have lost some time. I know we got great people on here on this line. I know you some CEOs, and I know you some housewives, and I know you some brothers on here who are working class, and I know that we got great people all over the world on this line. I wouldn't, I'd be remiss not to know that. I know we do. I approach you as a humble lamb coming to you, not thinking I'm anybody special or nothing. But I approach you as the most humble lamb that I can think of. But I want to tell you something. Even though you're great, you're not as great as you could be. Let me just put it personally. Y'all talking about Dr. Bernard Johnson. Dr. Bernard Johnson, nothing. Talking about he's so great. If I am great, I want to tell you something. I'm not as great as I could be. And you're not as great as you could be. And I'm going to tell you what happened. The reason why we're not as great as we could be is because we've lost some time. Yeah, we lost some time. Yeah, I've been to the hospital to pray with people, and God healed and touched and delivered and raised them up. But I'm not as great as I could be if I am great. And the reason why, I lost some time. And you've lost some time. Yeah. They're talking about you at the church. They're talking about you on your job, how you did so well, and everything else. But you're not at the level where you could be. You're not accomplishing as much as you could accomplish. Yeah. You lost some time. And see, what the enemy will do, he'll start out with, let me take a person who has a habit of drinking, and that's not my habit. But a person who has a habit of drinking, the devil will start out by saying, try it, get your drink. And they'll try it. And before they know it, they lost a week. Amen. Because they got hooked on it. And then they lost 2 weeks. Then before they know it, they've lost a month. And then they drunk it. And then they lost 2 months, 5 months. And that 5 months turns into 5 years. They've been on the habit of drinking. Then 10 years, then 20 years. Just can't get away from drinking. Same thing about the habit of smoking. Just try a little cigarette. Before they know it, they got hooked on the cigarette. Or drugs. They tried crack. And before they know it, they got hooked on it. And it's been 1 year, then 5 years, then 10 years. Crack, baby. Crack habit. And then they've lost some time. Let me tell you something. One of the most wonderful things, as well as sad things I've ever seen, at the same time, sad and wonderful, is when people get saved at the age of 50 or 60 or 70. I was in West Texas, and I did a concert up there. And when I got through, I gave the invitation. A man, 95 years old, came down the aisle and gave his heart to Jesus. Oh, we shouted. We were so excited. But then afterwards, I began to realize, even though it was a glad time, it was one of the most saddest times I've ever experienced. Why would you say that, Dr. Johnson? The man 95 got saved. Yes, he was glad. But then when I realized that for 95 years, or at least 80 of those 95 years, the enemy had had him waste basically all his life away. All that time, he could have been working for the Lord. It was a glad time, but for 80 years, this man wasted time, wasted time. I'm talking to somebody on this line. You know what? You wasted some time. You wasted some time. But let me look at Jonah here and see what happens. Jonah, God spoke to him. God, Jehovah, spoke to this man and said, Jonah, I'm calling you. I want to use you. You're a prophet of mine, and I'm sending you to Nineveh, and I want you to preach to those folk up there because they've come up to me. They're worshiping idol gods, and I want you to preach and tell them that I'm going to destroy the city, and I want you to tell them that in 40 days they're going to be destroyed. And Jonah, the prophet of God, goes contrary to what God says. Oh, my God. Instead of going to Nineveh to preach to those folk and tell them what God says, the prophet of God goes to Tarshish, where all the bright lights and stuff are up in Tarshish. I want to submit to you, perhaps you never heard this before, but I want to submit to you that this text here about Jonah going to Tarshish is one of the highlighted texts in my life where we can clearly see that this man was somehow overcome with witchcraft. Now, I know you never heard that before, but the Holy Ghost showed it to me. Witchcraft. Jonah was overcome with witchcraft. Now, first of all, you got to know, what is witchcraft? It is the ability of someone or some spirit to overcome you and take over your mind and cause you to do what they want you to do rather than what God wants you to do. Witchcraft. Uh-huh. What would make a prophet of God, a man of God, like Jonah, that God would honor him so much that he would come down and speak to him and tell him, I want you to go to Nineveh to preach over there and cry loud and spare not. And what would make a man who had loved God like he had loved God, Jonah, what would make him say, no, not going to do it? I submit to you that he had to be under the guise of witchcraft. Certainly the spirit was not controlling his mind. It had to be the enemy. And the same thing is happening in the church. People will go to a dentist, and the dentist say, open your mouth. And they'll open their mouth, and they ain't never been to this dentist, but they'll show everything in their mouth to this dentist that they ain't never seen before. Then they go to the doctor, not one time, 25 times. And the doctor say, all right, lay down on the table. Take off your clothes. And they take off, they ain't never seen this man before. And they take off their clothes, laying on the table at his discretion, and touch them wherever he wants to touch them. What would make them do that? Somebody practicing this and that. I want to ask you, what would make them do that? And then what would make them come to church and you say, lift your hands and give God praise, and then you look around and they just sitting there? Or they fold their arms as if they're not going to do it. Actually, that's what they're saying. No, I'm not going to do it. I submit to you that the enemy is trying to overcome the church with witchcraft. They'll do anything that anybody else says. Tell them to do this, tell them to do that, they'll do it. And then when the man of God says do this or do that, they don't want to do it. They don't want to give God glory again. I submit to you it's witchcraft. And I do remind you, I base this on two things. Number one, for Jonah, he came from the city of Amittai. Amittai was almost like, you might say, here in our world, like Haiti. They practiced witchcraft openly. Amittai, they had witchcraft around that city. Something must have happened to this prophet some way. He somehow, somebody put a spell on him. He must not have had his mind on Jesus or the Lord, because God will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. Jonah somehow must have been under witchcraft. Second reason why I'm going to tell you is because of 1 Samuel 15 and 23. And it says, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness, all you stubborn people, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. And then it says this, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee. I'm right there in 1 Samuel 15 and 23. Somehow, some way, I believe that this man, Jonah, must have been under the influence of witchcraft. Because here God is telling him, Jonah, go to Nineveh. And this prophet who's on the Lord's side suddenly says, no, I'm not going. Goes and buys a ticket toward Joppa to take him to Tarshish, the bright lights. Had to be demons controlling Jonah. And he goes to Joppa and Tarshish rather than Nineveh. But God had something for him. God said, I got something for you, Jonah. And what is it? Big old fish. Swallowed him up. Now, I want you to get this situation. Here is Jonah in the belly of a whale. And you got to imagine, think about your belly for a moment. You eat food, don't you? That food goes down in your belly, doesn't it? And when the food goes down in your belly, that food that goes down in your belly, there are acids down in there. In a sense, me, I say it like this, acids down in your belly that churn the food up. Yeah, they churn the food up. But Johnson, I'm talking about three in one. Yeah, three in one. And those acids in your stomach churn the food up. Can you imagine if your acids in your stomach are so strong, they churn up food and then send them through the other process of going to this and that and then coming out of your body. What do you think the acid is in the belly of a whale in the sea or a big fish? Let me tell you something. You got to multiply it probably times 10 times the acid in your stomach, because that's the way that big fish lives. In other words, Jonah is inside the belly of this huge fish with acid everywhere and seaweed, because that's what he thrives off of. This scripture tells us that he had seaweed all around his head. And Jonah had to be on something to keep from being dissolved in the belly of the fish. So he had to be careful, because he could fool around and slip off here, and his leg go in that acid, it might have just melted his leg off. It was so strong. So he is acid all around him, seaweed around his head, and he's disobedient to God. Because, I would say this, because he somehow is endued or overcome with witchcraft. Amen. Jonah, God's prophet. But now, may I say it like this, it's not in the text, but God knew what Jonah didn't know. And he knew that the whale couldn't stand sweets. And I don't know if he knew this song or not, but maybe he starts singing a song like when he came to himself, he began to pray and pray them to God and ask God to deliver me, Lord. And perhaps Jonah starts singing something like, He's sweet, I know. Dark clouds may arise and storms and winds may blow, but I'll tell the world wherever I go. I found a Savior and he's sweet. I don't know what he did, but God somehow made that big old fish, perhaps who couldn't stand swim, spit him up on the seashore. And so he had been in the belly of the whale, or the belly of the big fish, for 3 days. But God got his attention. And when God got his attention, that fish spit him up on the seashore. Now, here's where I'm going here. When he came up on the seashore, even though he had lost some time, even though it looked like he would never come out, even though it looked like it was over for him, even though it looked like he would never see a bright day again, even though it looked like he would never accomplish anything that God had designed for him to accomplish, even though it looked like he had lost his house, even though it looked like he had lost his car, even though it looked like he had lost his church, even though it looked like he had lost his life, it looked like it was over for him. But he came to himself and prayed, and the fish spit him up. And when he came up on that seashore, guess what? The Bible says here that Nineveh, where he was supposed to go, was like a 2 days' journey from where he was. Yeah. But the Bible says he made that 3 days' journey in 1 day. Don't you mess with me, Holy Ghost. I don't want to act up on this slide here. A 3 days journey in 1 day. Three and one. A 3 days journey in 1 day. What am I trying to tell you as I'm closing this argument here? Oh, my God. I know somebody on this line. You got saved, and somehow the enemy maneuvered you like he does so many people in the church. And he has them to leave that situation where they are. And he has them to leave someone at the church where they would encourage that person and be there for them when they're going through the storm and be there through the rain. And somehow the enemy maneuvers them and gets them away from the situation where they can grow in Jesus Christ. And the enemy tells them that you're not going to be blessed at this church, or you're not going to be blessed by living for the Lord. And before you know it, they walked away and backslid. I guess this was a message yesterday to backsliding people, but I tell you, I said somehow the enemy will bring things in your life, and before you know it, you've lost a little time, and then you lost a lot of time, and that 6 months turns into 6 years, and that 6 years turns into 10 years, and that 10 years turns into 20 years and 30 years. You lost a lot of time in your life, and the devil then begins and then tell you that you'll never be able to make it up. The devil begins to tell you that you won't be able to achieve what the Lord has designed for you to achieve. You'll never be able to climb up the mountain. You'll never be able to be where God wants you to be in life. And the enemy will tell you that you're not going to make it. But here, I brought you some good news. Jonah says, when I came out of the belly of the whale, I started running. I wasn't walking. I was running to do what the Lord told me to do. And before you knew it, I had made the 3 days journey in 1 day. Oh, somebody on this line, I'm telling you, the devil told you it was over. The devil told you, I got you now. In this for long, this so long, you've been lying too long, you've been smoking too long, you've been drinking too long, you've been committing adultery too long, you've been committing fornication too long, you've been lying, you're not on it, you've been gossiping on the phone for too long, I got you into this, you can't stop gossiping, but the devil is a liar. I want to tell you, the Lord can take anybody, even if there's a hoe on the street, been prostituting for 15 and 20 years, they can walk in and in the church or wherever, not, don't even have to be in the church, but somebody can come up to them and tell them about Jesus. And when they get to tell them about Jesus, the Lord will hear their cry of repentance. And that hoe who's been on the street for 15, 20 years, God is not judgmental. He will take their sins and cast them into the sea of forgetfulness and remember their sins no more. And he can wipe them and wash them and make them whiter than snow. I'm telling you, I don't care if that person's been doing that for 20 years. I'm telling you, when God gets through, he'll let them make a 15-year journey, a 20-year journey of loss. Well, they've lost that 15 and 20 years. He can let them make it up in one day. Let me prove it to you. Here's Peter who had walked with Jesus, and he had been there for the Lord, but here Jesus is going to Calvary, and Peter denies Jesus Christ. Can you imagine your best friend or one of your best friends around you, and all of a sudden when you get in trouble, he's leaving your side, and he's denying that I even know you. That's what Peter did, and he lost some time in Jesus Christ because he had denied that he really knew Jesus. But here we see, after Jesus had died, Peter went up to the upper room, and the Holy Ghost fell on him. And when the Holy Ghost fell on him, he threw his sins of denying Jesus into the sea of forgetfulness and then remembered them no more. And here's Peter now, after he gets the Holy Ghost, outside there now, preaching to thousands of people. And in one day, I know he had lost some time, but in one day, Peter won 3,000 people to Jesus. I want to tell you, the Lord will let you make a three-day journey in one day. And then I want to tell you this. Mother Johnson here in this house right now, oh, my God, she's a wonderful woman. God has blessed her life and made her the mother to the nation. But I want to tell you, she's been afflicted here, and sometimes it seems like she feels like she lost some time because she can't walk like she wants to walk. She can't do like she wants to do. No, my God, and seems like she feels like she's losing some time. But I told her, Mama, don't worry about it because I believe the Lord has you here for a reason. And the reason is because he's going to let you do more in your latter years than you did in your earlier years. And then what happened, the Lord moved on my heart, said, son, I want you to put her on the broadcast, on this prayer line, and let her preach to the prayer line. And I put her on the prayer line. Y'all remember that? She came on here. And even though God had used her all around Kansas and used her in a few other cities, we put her on the prayer line to over 100 million different listeners and going to 194, now 195 different countries. And when Mother Johnson got on, she preached about the Holy Ghost. And when she got through preaching, I began to see that thing. God somehow had got a hold of Mother Johnson once again and used her as never before. And I began to see this thing that she had been afflicted, and somehow the devil had told her that she had lost some time. But in one day, the Lord let her do more in the latter years than she'd done in the previous years. She preached to 100 million and told them about the Holy Ghost. Oh, the Lord will let you make a three-day journey in one day. I'm through here. But God bless all of y'all. Listen, I don't care what you've been going through. I don't care what the enemy told you. You might be 65, 75, 85 years old. You might be 50, and you've lost a lot of time in your life. But I want to tell you, whoever you are, if you lost some time, just go to the Lord and tell him I'm sorry and repent of losing any time in your life. And let me tell you something. He will cast everything into the sea of forgetfulness and remember them no more. And then the Lord will somehow let you make that time that you've lost, that the canker worm ate up, that the palmer worm ate up. God will restore you and somehow give you better than you had before. He'll let you make a three-day journey in one day. I'm through here this morning. He will let you make a three-day journey in one day. Don't be discouraged, because the devil will tell you it's too late for you. The devil is a liar. God didn't call many people in the Bible, read it. He didn't really call them to the twilight years of their life. He didn't call them real young. He called them in the twilight years and used them for mighty and wonderful. Look at Abraham. Look at Moses. He called them in the twilight years and used them as never before. So don't let the devil tell you that you missed it now. that you can't be great like you would have been great. Don't let him tell you that. He doesn't want you to be great, and the reason why he tells you that is because he knows that if you really wake up, if the cataracts ever fall off your eyes, and you realize that God does intend to use you as never before, you will do damage to Satan's kingdom. That's why he's lying to you, because he doesn't want you to wake up and see what God can do for you. Amen. God bless all of you. I love y'all. And I thought I'd come on the prayer line, let y'all know I'm going to be taking a sabbatical here. Nothing's wrong. Amen. Nothing's wrong. I'm not sick. Don't think anything like that. I'm just want to take a rest. Amen. 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 Jesus, he was with him, but God himself, with Jesus with him, and the Holy Ghost was there too, according to the Word of God. When God made the world, he did it in 6 days, and then took the seventh day, and he rested. So I'm just doing like God would do. Amen. Take a rest. Amen. I love you all. Appreciate you. I want Ambassador Hagen to take it today, and then Ambassador Stiff, that she can do it tomorrow. And then on Wednesday, I'm going to ask Brother Harold Darden if he would take it. And on Thursday, I think Ambassador-elect Natanya Williams, I think is her last name. And then Friday, Pastor Williams is coming. Amen. And y'all know these people are a great blessing. So I don't want y'all to be absent. I want you to be present. Go get somebody. Help me out. So they won't give me a bad report that y'all are not there. And then I have to say, well, I need to rest, but they're not there, so I got to come back. No, don't do me like that.
Amen.
Amen. That's not good.
No.
Amen. Be there and support the line, so I can get a good report and I can rest. Amen. The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. Ambassador Hagen, are you there? Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
God bless you. Yes, sir. We are here. God bless you.
All right. God bless you. Give Bishop Hagen my regards here.
You'll do.
Appreciate you. I'm going to let you have it. And I'm out of here. Amen. I'm going to be resting. May the Lord bless you. I love y'all. I want to tell y'all that before I go. I love you very, 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 very much. And First Lady loves you very, 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 very much. God bless you. It's in your hands, Ambassador Hagen. And remember, y'all can make a 3-day journey in 1 day. God bless you. Whatever the Lord needs you to do, that's fine. God bless you.
Oh, my. Come on, everybody. Let's just give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. We certainly appreciate our Chief International Ambassador for obeying the Lord today. Amen. And are coming in and bringing this powerful message. This message is on point, and we all needed that word today, what the Lord has given to our Chief International
Ambassador. Before I leave, I got to say something. I just thought about something. Congratulations, Dr. Stiff. Amen. She's Dr. Amen. Gail Stiff. Amen. We had a great ceremony on Friday for her. And oh, my God. God bless her so much. So congratulations to Dr. Gail Stiff. All right. Back in your hands. I'm out.
Amen. God bless you. And we all, amen, go with those sentiments of congratulations. Amen. To Dr. Stiff. Oh, praise the Lord. Right before our teeth go, we're going to ask, let's see, some of the ambassadors, some of the pastors, ambassadors-elect, whomever, just feeling the anointing of God upon them at this time, right before our chief leaves for the sabbatical, if you'd come at this time and offer a word of prayer for this great man of God. Just jump in real quick.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Father, in the name of Jesus, God, how we thank you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your tender mercies. God, if we said or done anything that wasn't pleasing in your sight, I'm going to ask you to forgive us. And God, I thank you for this great man of God. Let your blessings be upon him. Give him some strength, God. Let him be able to rest. Let him be able to be assured that we will carry on the land and that we will not make him ashamed. In the mighty name of Jesus, bless your people everywhere. Bless everyone on this land, God. Give strength. Take us through every test and every trial. In the mighty name of Jesus, God, we thank you today. In Jesus' name, thank the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, we continue to bless your holy name, oh God. God, bless the woman of God and the man of God. God, as they rest in you, oh God, hallelujah, give them the desires of their heart, for they have truly labored in the gospel, oh God. We thank you right now that we ask that a due season fall on them, oh God. The DEW season, while he is resting on a sabbatical, there's a fresh dew, anointing, whoa, rest upon him in the name of Jesus. And God, let there be a DUE season, a due season, where he reaps everything that he's sown, oh God. Seeds that he's sown and sows and seeds that he's planted and sows that has come to the kingdom, oh God. Let him reap it, oh God, in just a few days for that he's labored for years in the name of Jesus. And we plead the blood and we tag and wear him out with in the name of Jesus. Oh God, let blessings flow from the east and the west and the north and the south in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And God, let more people around him in the name of Jesus that are appreciative of his work, that are appreciative of him as a man, appreciative to him as a father in the gospel in the name of Jesus. Show compassion and love, oh God. And God, let us not have a parasite spirit against the man of God and what he has sown. But this season, let him reap harvest. And I plead the blood of Jesus, and we decree and declare it so in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Oh, praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory. The line is still open while we still have a little more time. Just jump in there. If you feel God laying on your heart to pray, be a blessing to the man of God. Just jump in there. Prayer warriors, prayer intercessors. Oh, Father, we just thank you right now. Thank you for this moment. Thank you for this moment and for this time and for what you're doing. We give you all the praise and all the glory. Thank you for this great man of God. Thank you for his wife, his family, his church, his ministry. Father, we ask you to bless him on this sabbatical, on this time that you have set aside, hallelujah, to refresh him, to rejuvenate him, to re-inspire him in the name of Jesus, for you to just have that one-on-one dealing with him and his family, that the calling that you called him to just come and meditate and be before you so you can pour into him. Father, for a greater anointing, a fresh anointing, we say thank you. Thank you, Father, for what you've already done and what you're doing right now. Thank you because you've already prepared the platform to the nations, and he's going all around the world. We thank you, oh God, for the additional 195 countries. We thank you, Lord, for how you are just blazing the score and opening up the worldwide globe. Thank you for the new resources that you're putting at our disposal, the television ministry all over the world. We give you praise. Thank you for the workers. Lord, the harvest is already ripe. We're not praying that you open unto us the harvest. The harvest is already ripe. His harvest is already here. We just need more workers in the vineyard. Send forth more workers in the vineyard to help gather this harvest, the harvest that you have already, glory be to God, allowed to be ripe for this ministry. We thank you, Lord. Now blessing from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet, blessing with good health. Oh, God, good vision. Keep him sharp. Keep him professional. Keep him anointed. Keep him going forth. Keep him with his ears open to hear your voice in the name of Jesus. Allow him to deal with each and every one in the spirit. Father, thank you because you have, oh, God, you have raised him up not only to be a pastor or an international ambassador, oh, God, in many hats that he wears, but you've also called him, Lord, the nations, and to be a leader of leaders. Lord, as you bring to him leaders, corporate leaders, church leaders, apostles, all of those in the fivefold ministry, and you've allowed him to be leader, to pour into them leadership skills and ability, hallelujah, and to prune them for the coming of God. Lord, we say thank you. Thank you for the finances that are being prepared even now, laid aside in your vault, oh God, to be dispersed at your given time in behalf of every one of his needs. Lord, we say thank you. And we give you praise. Thank you for all the work, because we call it all done in Jesus' mighty name, for no weapon formed against him shall prosper. Glory be to God, for this is the heritage of the Lord, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Let everybody say amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 God.
Amen.
Well, we gave everybody opportunity to pray. Hallelujah. So